morning. So wonderful to see everybody. You can tell it's Christmas time with all the red out in the congregation. I love seeing that, and green. Well, I would like to welcome everybody to Flat Springs Baptist Church for our worship service this morning. Very excited as we continue the Advent season for us to gather together as the church, this time of worship. But before we begin, just want to make sure that you are welcomed if you are a guest with us, whether it is your first time with us or if you've been a few times and have never filled out a guest card. We would love to have that information. We like to send out a little bit of information to you to make sure you are welcome and aware of how God is working in so many different ways within our church. I do have just a couple of announcements, one correction, so we'll make sure we're all ready to go with things coming up. In the newsletter, it says that this Sunday, today, the RAs are shopping for an angel tree, but it's actually next Sunday. So next Sunday is when the RAs will go out shopping. Today, we have a full day after worship, a wonderful time together. Tonight, we have our live nativity at 5 o'clock. All are welcome and invited. We'll actually have some food afterwards, and if you could, please come and stay. We would love for you to also bring a little food to make sure we have enough, but please come at 5 o'clock, our live nativity right outside the fellowship hall, a time for all the children and youth, families to come together, share the Christmas story, and see everything live as we talk about that and continue to celebrate. And after we eat, stay at 6:45. Really looking forward to FSYC, the Christmas program tonight. I know a lot of hard work has gone into that. Always excited to hear how you lead us in worship during this special time of year. That's at 6:45 tonight. And if you've noticed, there'll be more information going out tonight, right here and here, in between the poinsettias. There is a yellow, bright yellow piece of paper. I know it's a little early, but with everything coming up, I want to make sure the information is out. Our children's sled day that is going to be Saturday, January 10th, is going to now include church-wide our first ever chili cook-off. And there's more information that goes on about that. We're going to have a trophy the whole nine. I want the whole church to be involved. That's going to be part of our lunch as well. This begins to tell you, these little pieces of paper, what's going on to make sure we're all aware and to use those to invite others to come out as well. So that's what's happening now. If there are any other announcements that didn't get to me in time. Yes. Okay.
Every year we set up an angel tree, and there is three angels still remaining on the tree. So anybody that would be interested in doing that.
That's a huge ministry that has been successful for several years. So there are three remaining angels on the angel tree. And right after service, if we could just have just a little help moving this all off the stage so we're prepared for tonight, that would be most appreciated. I know that's a lot to digest before we begin to prepare our hearts and minds for worship, but we can see how God's at work, and I'm excited about that. So now let's close our eyes, bow our heads, and prepare for worship. God, we come before you to concentrate on your presence here among us. Because, God, we know you've called us together. We know that you brought us together for a purpose, and we know that right now this purpose is to celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that time is coming. What a joyous occasion it is to be able to celebrate Christmas. When we are filled with your joy, it is hard to contain, and we know you don't want us to contain it. You want us to share it. And so, God, during this time of worship, during this time where we sing praises to your name, may it fill us full of joy in such a way where we can leave here and go out and share the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, with everyone we come in contact with. Everything we do, everything we say, may we not become too busy to share the love of your Son, Jesus, in every way. We pray this in his name. Amen. Now let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Today we light the second candle of Advent, the candle of treasuring and pondering. Young Mary, the mother of Jesus, treasured and pondered the things that happened that first Christmas night. There is a song that we often sing at Christmas entitled, "Mary, Did You Know?" And one line from that song asks, "Mary, did you know that child that you delivered would soon deliver you?" This Christmas, we would do well to follow Mary's example and treasure the real meaning of Christmas and meditate on that meaning. We must guard our hearts against searching the worldly treasures so much that we fail to see the real treasure of Christmas, Jesus Christ the Lord. To think deeply about Christmas is an exercise well worth the effort. To imagine how much God loves us and how the love came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to save us from all eternity. As the small lights glow on the Advent candle during our worship today, may we treasure the Christ of Christmas and ponder the love of God that makes salvation possible.
Now I want you to stand and sing as brightly as you are dressed today. This is a beautiful sight. Let's stand and sing Angels from the Realms of Glory, 94.
Pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day and for the many blessings you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with the opportunity to be in your house. Please be with those who could not be here today, and please help us to remember the real reason for this season and take this offering to glorify your kingdom. In these things we pray. Amen.
love seeing everybody down. I wasn't the only one that noticed all the festive colors. Everyone's so bright. It's cheerful Christmas. I love this time of year. It's wonderful. I want to make sure I give everybody time so I can see everybody. I love technology, and so this morning I want you to listen carefully. Phones can do an amazing thing. I'm going to play a few different sounds for you this morning, and you tell me what the sound is, okay? Listen to the first sound. What's that a sound of? It's a bell, right? Good. What about this one? What's this a sound of? It is. What kind? Close, close. Train bell, a railroad crossing bell again, right? You're thinking, this is good. Listen to this one. What's that? Can you tell me what kind of bell that is? Can you tell me? No, not quite. Boxing arena bell. Have you heard that before? And this is the last sound. I think you've caught on, they're all bells, but tell me what kind of bell this is. What kind of bell?
A jingle bell.
It is a jingle bell. I love that. Sleigh bells. Christmas time, right? We're talking about bells with those sounds. Well, did you know long before there were printed newspapers, there would be a person that would stand on a street corner and ring a bell. And he or she would say, "Hear ye, hear ye." And they would shout out the news of the town. And they would talk about town meetings and times. And that's how people would get their news before printed newspaper. Well, now people get their news in a lot of different ways. They can get their news online, read the newspaper, or watch the news on TV. With so many different ways, we just know it's important to know what's going on around us. Well, we know that Jesus brings us the good news. But did you know that way before Jesus was even born, God used a prophet named Isaiah to tell us about somebody who was going to prepare us to know about the good news of Jesus? Let's listen to what the first chapter of Mark, the first few verses, says. This is going to tell us what Isaiah was told long before Jesus was even born. It says, "The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah, the prophet, it says, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" Do you know who Isaiah was talking about? Who was he talking about? Before Jesus, somebody was going to tell us about Jesus. You're on the right track. We've talked about him before. That's really close. It's John the Baptist. John the Baptist, like we've talked about, was going to prepare everybody to listen to the good news of Jesus. And they were told that he was going to come way before Jesus was even born. And so this morning, I want us to remember how important it is to share the good news that we're about to celebrate Christmas. We're about to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ and how important it is to be ready for that. Okay? So let's pray about that this morning. God, thank you so much for these children sitting right here and everybody in this church sitting right here prepared to celebrate the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, being born during Christmas time. We thank you for that, God. And we pray it in your name. Amen. All right. See y'all next week.
Thank you, youth. That was a taste of what there will be tonight at 6:45. So plan to be here then. Come earlier for the live nativity, and then be blessed by the youth as they present their program. We're going to sing two songs back to back here. Number 107, O Come Little Children, first and third verse, and then both verses of Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, number 106. Let's stand as we sing.
Wonderful day of worship it has been, even to this moment, as we have shared together, and FSYC blessed us with that wonderful song. And again, I want to add my invitation to you to be here tonight for the nativity, and the Lord's got us a beautiful day to be here and be a part of that, and then be here tonight. And each night, I think it is appropriate that we spend a great deal of time worshiping during the Advent season. And so you have an opportunity tonight, next Sunday night, the next Sunday night, and then on Christmas Eve to gather and to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. Let me invite you to open your bulletins, and let me give Gail and Regina, you know, that then we're going to do it in the end. We're going to do it. We're going to do it right here now. One thing that Jimmy Allen will learn is that there's always payback. You know, y'all had to sing for me. Well, guess whose birthday it is today? Jimmy, happy birthday. And in your best voice, shall we sing to him happy birthday? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. We are delighted that you are a part of us at this time in our world. We are excited about it. And I think Rachel Picard's birthday is also today. I don't know if she's not here. Is she? She's not here, but we wish her a happy birthday, too. Let me invite you to look at our prayer concerns. There are names there of folks that we need to be remembering. I talked this morning with Anthony Harrington. Anthony did have a pacemaker. I think the word is actually installed, is that they use the placed in his system, and it seems to be helping some things, but he can't get his blood pressure regulated. It's staying too high, and so he thinks he will at least be in the hospital through tomorrow. They're doing some things to help with that, so let's keep Anthony in our prayers. And then a name we mentioned last night, or I heard about last night, Wayne Womble. That is Clarence's son, has went for surgery, and they found a bad blood clot, and he's had a second surgery, and he is in critical condition. So we want to keep Wayne lifted up in our prayers in a very special way. You noticed when you came in that our flag was at half-mast. Today is Pearl Harbor Day, when our nation remembers the sacrifice and that dreaded day in our history. And it is appropriate that we pause to remember that too. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are grateful for a list and our opportunity even now to add prayers that maybe though no one's name was mentioned, but we know that person and we know that need. And so now we lift them to you. God, we're grateful for the gifts like birthdays. We're excited about the birthday of our Savior that we celebrate at Christmas. We're mindful, Lord, that living in a fallen world, there are wars and rumors of war. And on this Sunday, when we pause to remember the historical day in our nation's history, we ask, God, that you might continue to be at work in our world. And God, we believe as Christians that you are the answer to the problems our world faces. And so we pray that you might give us even greater strength today and greater resolve today to be as faithful as we possibly can in a world that needs your faith. Would you speak to us as we continue to worship you today? For it is in Christ's name we offer this prayer. Amen.
Joy, Lord.
Thank you, choir. Oh, my goodness, if we can do that, if we can give him all the worship and all the glory, it will make a tremendous difference in how we celebrate Christmas. Our verse is very short today, but very powerful. We talked about the shepherds last Sunday going, seeing, and then telling. Today, Mary will be our teacher. We're going to read but the 19th verse, but hear all the words of that verse. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's holy word? The shepherds have come and they have left. They saw and they've gone and made known the saying. And then verse 19 says, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." May God add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us through this simple verse that we might follow Mary's example, that we might treasure up and ponder deeply in our heart who you are. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you. You may be seated. The end of our worship today, our hymn of decision is page 122. Tell me the story of Jesus, 122. Let me invite you to go ahead and mark that there. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be." Where's our treasure today? On this second Sunday of Advent, I was reading on the internet, and according to the American Research Group, Americans will spend $861 per person, average, on gifts and goodies. That's up from $801 last year, but not near the level it was in 2004 when Americans spent $1,004 per person for Christmas. What's valuable? Our first lesson is that Mary treasured. She treasured the thing. Our society always likes to reduce treasure to dollars. I'm reminded of that MasterCard commercial that says you can buy this and you can buy that and it costs this much and it costs this much. And then it takes you to that moment of all that equipment you buy for that one moment. And you say, and when this moment happens, they say it's priceless. But then they have this statement: some things money can't buy, for everything else, there's... Yeah, you know it. Works, doesn't it? Advertising works, doesn't it? For everything else. And yet, if society were really to tell us all the truth, and I believe if MasterCard were to really come clean with us, they would think they could somehow put a price even on those priceless things that happen. They think that that's where it all is. That's where value is. We love stories about great treasures, don't we? I read this week a story about a fellow named George Owen Walton, who was born in 1907, May 25th, in Rocky Mount, Virginia. I didn't know there was a Rocky Mount, Virginia. I've been to Rocky Mount, North Carolina. But he was an appraiser, and he often did that for estates, and he often had first dibs, and he became a coin collector, as it were, and he had the opportunity to buy a 1913 Liberty Head nickel, and there were only five ever minted. They became some of the rarest coins in American currency. He paid $3,750 for that coin in 1945. Now, that's a lot of money in 1945. But he always told his family, "This is a fortune. Give it some time. This is a fortune." Well, he was killed in an automobile accident on his way to a coin show, ironically enough, in 1962. And after that, the family took that fortune. They went to that coin that he had kept in a lockbox in the corner of his closet. I don't want you to tell me and shake your head whether you've got one of those boxes or not. But that's where this 1913 Liberty Head nickel had been abiding since 1945. And so the family said, well, you know, Uncle George is gone. We might as well cash in the fortune. And so they took it and they had it appraised. And unfortunately and surprisingly, the appraiser told them in 1962 that it was a fake. And they put a sticker on it that appraisers have, and it said no value. $3,750 he had spent on this fortune. Well, eventually, Walton's nephew, Ryan Givens, inherited the nickel. The family just didn't know what to do, so they put it back in that box and put it back in the closet. And even though it had been dismissed as counterfeit, something told him that his uncle was way too shrewd to be that fooled. And so in 2003, the other four 1913 Liberty Head nickels went on display, and $1 million prize was offered for anyone who could produce the fifth and the final coin. And so Ryan thought, why not? He took his coin, and this time six experts examined the coin and looked it over. And after hours of comparing and contrasting, they came back and they said, it's the real deal. This is it. This is the coin. Eventually, Givens sold that 1913 Liberty Head. I know you're all going to go home and see if you got any Liberty Heads. For $3.1 million. George was right. It was a fortune. We like that kind of treasure, don't we? Oh, all of us are somewhere hoping that, and they know that. You know why the lottery is successful? Because they know we're hoping. You know why publisher Sweeping House has been around for 10 billion years? Because they know we're hoping. We're hoping somebody's going to drive up in our driveway with balloons and a big check and say, you've just won. Because the world has told us that's what treasure is. Having that rare coin or having that lucky moment or having that winning, whatever it might be. I wonder today if Mary might help us redefine what treasure is, because by all stance, Mary would be seen as, my goodness, if we were to use our language today, we'd say she was a loser. Here she was, finding herself in a difficult place. I mean, they must have liked getting out of town, because can you imagine the talk that was going on in Nazareth when she began to show that she was pregnant? Then just a few days after Christmas, we'll find that Herod will send down a death squad to try to destroy this child. And they'll spend 7 to 8 years in exile in Egypt. Mary treasured the things, even in the difficultness of that. There's an interesting speech that Drew Houston gave. Do you know the name Drew Houston? Some of you use it. I use it. Matt introduced it to me. Dropbox. So you have Dropbox on your phone. There's a free app for that, Dropbox, and it's a neat little app. Well, he is the one who came up. He is the inventor and the CEO of Dropbox, the founder, I guess you would call him. I want you to hear a quote from his commencement address he gave at MIT. Pretty lofty company, isn't it? When I think about it, Houston says, the happiest and most successful people I know don't just love what they do. They're obsessed with solving an important problem, something
that matters to them. Treasure. What matters to us? Here's his analogy. They remind me of a dog chasing a tennis ball. I've had a black lab before. Their eyes go a little crazy. The leash snaps, and they go bounding off through whatever might be in their way. So it's not about pushing yourself, he says. It's about finding your tennis ball. It's about finding that thing. But you know, my black lab's name was Babe. And Babe had one mission. I understood it early on. And those who train dogs understand. You know, the dog really didn't care that much about the tennis ball. Oh, it appeared to be. I mean, you would think that tennis ball was the most wonderful thing in all the world. But you know what the dog really cared about? Making the master happy. That's what the dog really cares about. You know why the dog... We were gone all day yesterday for my granddaughter's birthday, and we left our ferocious chihuahua at home guarding the place. She's been letting me down a few times lately, but we still have hope for her. And when we came back home, immediately she saw us, and she did that little thing that dogs do, and then she immediately ran and found her turtle, little stuffed turtle. And she brought, you know why she was saying, I'm so glad y'all are back. I want to play. I want to connect back to you. You're my master. And I missed you while you were gone. Treasure. For her, it's a little stuffed animal. For a lab, it might be a tennis ball. But what about for me? What's my treasure? What drives me to push through difficult times and difficult places and difficult circumstances? What is my tennis ball? For Mary, it was the Christ of Christmas. I pray that's what it is for me. How about you? What is our treasure? It's sad when we don't recognize the treasure that is all around us, and it's everywhere. The Washington Post did an experiment in 2007 on January the 12th. Joshua Bell. Now that name may or may not ring a bell with you. I intended that pun. Joshua Bell is a world-renowned violinist. He's one of the best. But this day he walked into the Metro in Washington, D.C., their subway system. And there he is, a youngish white guy in jeans and a long sleeve T-shirt and a Washington Nationals hat on his head. And he drops down a case in front of him and he opens it up and he takes out a violin and he throws in some coins and a few dollars as seed money into his case. Now, if you've been to a big city, you know this happens often. And for the next 45 minutes in the D.C. Metro, he plays Mozart and Schubert as 1,000 people stream by him, hardly any of them stopping to even take notice. Because if they had stopped for a moment, they would have known not only was this young man a world-renowned violinist, but they might have also noticed the violin he was playing. It was a Stradivarius. Valued at over $3 million. I'm sure the Washington Post had some guards stationed around there somewhere as well. It was part of their project because, you see, this same young man just 3 days earlier had sold out the Boston Symphony Hall and the seats were going north of $100 a seat. To hear him play that violin. But in the same way, in the subway, taking out what he put in, he garnered $32 from 27 people. Do we understand that the great instrument of God is playing the melody of Christmas all around? And if we're not careful, instead of seeing the treasure that Christ is, we'll be caught up in our busy schedule, and we'll walk by and not notice the Lord. It says not only that she treasured, but also she pondered. Mayo Mathers, in an article she wrote, said these words. She said, in hosting cooking parties and buffets and shopping, she said it brings out the Martha in her. You remember that story? Martha and her sister named Mary, not the Mary we're talking about, another Mary. And how she was so busy fixing all the food and doing everything. She had never given it much thought, Mathers said, until she was at her church's Christmas pageant. And here's what she writes. As I sat in the candlelight sanctuary, absent-mindedly listening to the peaceful strains of silent night. Have you ever listened but not really pondered? You ever sat in worship and never really said, God, what are you saying to me? What are you trying to communicate to me right here, right now? What truth do I need to be hearing from you? She said, I wrestled mentally with a list of things to be done. And when the congregation stood to sing the carols, my lips moved unconsciously to the words while my brain mulled over the various menus of the annual Christmas buffet. As in every Christmas pageant, the usual parade of bathrobe-draped children marched down the center aisle. A pseudo-weary Mary and Joseph shook their heads in dismay as the innkeeper turned them away, having watched so many similar renditions of the Christmas story. You can see it at 5 o'clock this evening. It had become commonplace to me, she said. Realizing this, I felt a stab of guilt and bowed my head. Father, I prayed, let me see the story through your eyes tonight. The young girl portraying Mary began to sing a lullaby to the child in her arms. Her voice was so pure, so full of love and awe, and I stared at her. I transfixed upon her, my distracted musings now forgotten. Suddenly, it was as if the congregation had disappeared, and I had been transported back in time to the actual stable at Bethlehem. As I listened to her song, an immense gratitude settled upon me. Into my heart, God whispered, if ever there's a time to worship me, it's now. This season is about me only, but each year you crowd me out with inconsequentials. Mathers closed her article with these words, beautiful, delicious dinners are nice, just right gifts are delightful, but I'm learning that there's only one thing that really matters. While I tend to be more like Martha at Christmas, 'tis the season to be Mary. To ponder. To think. Because, oh my goodness, to be distracted, that's so easy. Today, what are we pondering in our hearts when it comes to God? There's a rabbi that gave a famous story. He said he was keeping his flocks when he noticed a tiny stream trickling down a hillside, dripping over a ledge and on its way to the river below. But below there was a massive boulder. And surprisingly to him, the rock bore a deep impression. The drip, 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 drip of the water over the centuries had hollowed away the stone. Akiva is the rabbi's name. Akiva said, if mere water can do this to a hard rock, how much more can God's word carve away into my heart made of flesh? Akiva realized that if the water had flowed over the rock all at once, the rock would have been unchanged. I've been inundated with water, haven't you? I've had spiritual stuff just flash over me for a moment and those goose pimples rise up, but then it just sort of
flows on over me. Akiva realized that if the water had flowed over the rock all at once, the rock would have been unchanged. It was the slow but steady impact of each small droplet, year after year, that completely reformed the stone. I wonder today, are we ready for a big splash? I wonder if someone could come up with a stress meter and we could just run it over this congregation. I wonder how much stress is in this room right now. I wonder how many of us are sitting here and we're smiling and folks have asked us today, how's everything? And we've said, oh, it's fine. Everything's fine. And that's not true. That's not true. There are things in our heart that are heavy. There are places in our life where we're confused. There are decisions that we have made and are making that are not what we wish we were. And who knows, maybe even today someone is here and our families aren't where they need to be. And we're not at peace. Let Mary teach us. Let Mary teach us. Because in all the stress of being told at a very young age that she was going to be the mother of the Son of God, you know, the one thing I think she teaches me more than anything else is that she was there that night and the shepherds came and later the wise men will come and she treasured and pondered them. I wonder what she must have thought when she stood by the foot of the cross and Jesus hanging on the cross looked down at her after she had watched all that had been done to her baby boy. And he said to the beloved disciple, behold your mom. Mom, behold your son. I wonder what she thought. What she teaches me is you stay all the way. You're like that steady drip. One drop at a time. One Bible study at a time. One Bible reading today. Let God change us slowly. But oh, let God change us. Let God mold us and make us after his will every day. I'm not so much into the big splash, but I'm ready for the steady drip. And this Christmas, as I gather, and y'all, by the way, y'all do look stunning today. You look Christmassy. But may our hearts be Christmassy. May we follow Mary's example to treasure where your treasure is. There your heart will be also. Paul gives a great lesson on the love of God and the gospel. And he says, we hold this treasure in clay vessels. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God today could lower the stress meter if we'll treasure and ponder. If we'll change our focus. If we'll be transformed from Deep River to Bethlehem. And we won't let the inconsequentials crowd out the Christ of Christmas. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you now to hear your voice speak one more time. And would you speak to us as you did to Mathers and say, all you need to do is worship. All you need to do is bow down. All you need to do is say that I'm your God. Lord, you know every heart. You know every stress. You know every pain and every sorrow. You know every heartache and every disappointment. You know every frustration and every wrongdoing. And still you remind us it is the season to be merry.
pause and to treasure you and to think deeply about how no matter what our circumstances might be, whether at home, at work, at school, how might we honor you in all we do? We're speaking to you now, Lord. We're telling you about our burdens, about our heartaches, about our disappointments. We're asking, oh God, if the Christ of Christmas can still make a difference in our heart and in our life, in our circumstance, in our choices, in our decisions, in our homes, and in our community. And Lord, I believe you can. Help us to change our focus and not to allow the beautiful music of the Master being played all around us to be drowned out and to become only a $32 gift. But remind us that you are priceless. And you are our Master. And we love you. Would you speak to every heart right now? And may each of us make whatever decision we need to make, that when we leave this building, we'll be better equipped to treasure and better committed to ponder who you are in the depths of our heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, our hymn of making those choices is Tell Me the Story of Jesus, page 122. This morning, if God is inviting you to make some choice for Him, whether it be public or private, we would invite you, encourage you to do so. But may each of us make sure before we leave where our treasure is, where our heart is, as we stand together and sing. John, would you come join? Would you be seated for just a moment? We have been blessed for the last several months to have Brother John coming and worshiping with us, and he and I have had some discussions, and he believes the Lord is leading him to unite with Flat Springs Baptist Church, and he comes to us today by way of baptism. Now, he's been baptized before, and for him, his baptism by immersion will be a reaffirmation of his faith and his love for his Lord that he has served for many, many, many years. And we are delighted that God has led you our way. Do I hear a motion that we receive him into our fellowship upon his baptism?
Motion.
Y'all are getting better. You still do better, but you're getting better. You're getting better. And if you would join me in welcoming him by our vote, would you do that by saying amen?
Amen.
God bless you. We are excited that God has led you to us. And we're going to try to be the church that you need, that you can continue your ministry. And we'll need you to help us to be that church. Thank you so much. At the end of our service, I'm going to ask John to stand with me. I know you'll want to come by and extend to him a brother and sister welcome to our congregation, that God will continue the work that he has started in us. Would you stand with me? 5 o'clock. Let's fill up the side over here and watch our little ones take us from here to Bethlehem, and then be in our sanctuary at 6:45 this evening as FSYC will bless our hearts with the music of Christmas that will help us treasure and help us ponder. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be his people in the midst of all this. Would you pray with me? God, we are delighted today that you have brought John our way. And we pray that we might together continue to be the people that you would have us to be. Go with us now. As we leave this place, continue to drip in our life that steady change to make us more like you as we treasure you and ponder the gift of Christmas in our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Christ's love.